She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 198, Side Hustle to Full Time with Lauren Ben Bassett.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hi, She Did It Her Way listeners. Welcome back to another episode. I cannot believe, well, I mean, I can believe, but we are in the beginning of fourth quarter for 2017. And I feel like it was just yesterday that it was 2016 in the same exact place. And it is incredible how fast a year flies by. Sometimes it gives me anxiety because I think to myself, wait a second, I'm not even done accomplishing my goals for 2017, and 2018 is right around the corner, which is absolutely crazy. I don't know about you guys, but I'm definitely at this point thinking ahead about what is my focus for 2018? What am I going to infuse everything that I do, from the business to how I show up as a person? What am I going to infuse that life and that moment with? And then what are my strategic specific goals that I'm setting for myself for the year, from revenue to the business growth? And then how am I breaking that down in quarterly into monthly and weekly prompts so that I can accomplish those things? So I don't know about you guys, but keep going. There's still plenty of time left in 2017 to accomplish those goals and stay focused. And I know that you guys will get them done as well, but can't help but note the feeling of craziness sometimes what happens when fourth quarter hits and there's Thanksgiving and there's holidays and there's New Year's. So lots of exciting times. But on to today's podcast episode. What I love about this episode with Lauren Ben Bassett is we talk about her transition from her full-time corporate career and gig to her now full-time running her business. And one of the things that happens that we don't talk about as much maybe is when you leave your corporate job to pursue your entrepreneurship gig, sometimes it's not an easy choice, in the sense that when you or in your corporate career and things are not going well, or you're overworked and you're not motivated and you don't enjoy the work, sometimes it's easier to make that transition. But in Lauren's case, she loved her coworkers, for the most part enjoyed the work. And so it was one of those questions about choosing great instead of good. And sometimes the enemy of great is being good. And we can be good at where we're at in our career and in our life, whether we're even running our own business. And sometimes we settle for good, including myself, we settle for good. And by settling for good, we're not choosing great. And sometimes even taking that leap from good to great is a large growth moment. And so we really settle in talking about that journey, talking about how she founded Meal, which is an on-the-go meal replacement, fully nutritious, great flavors that they have going on. We talk about how she sourced her products and how she built up her marketing, and learning how to break up the steps involved with starting a business. And again, how to leave your corporate job that you love and leaving it to grow your own company and learn to launch and run a business with your significant other as well. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Lauren is such a sweetheart. I'm so excited for you guys to listen and have her share her journey. All right, you guys. You guys are tuning in, and we've got Lauren Ben Bassett, who is the founder of Meal. And I'm going to let her share with you what exactly it is, and then we're going to dive into her journey of being a entrepreneur, leaving a salary position to go out into the abyss, sometimes I call it, because you just really don't know what you're going to get when it comes to the entrepreneurship life. And Lauren has some really cool stories to talk about and experiences that she's had so far and developing the company that she has today. So Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, so give us your version, what it is that you do, and then we'll back all the way up as to how you got the inspiration, what were you doing, and all that good stuff.
Okay. So I guess in summary, meal, it is an all-natural meal replacement. It is not made from anything synthetic. So it's all real fruits and vegetables and nuts, and we use whey protein. So everything's been freeze-dried and or dehydrated, and it's all crushed, so really fine powder. And then all you do is you rehydrate it essentially by mixing with water. So it's almost like a smoothie on the go. But more than just a smoothie, we've developed each of our flavors to actually give a perfectly balanced meal. So you're going to get all those macronutrients, carbs, fats, proteins, fibers, and then the micronutrients of like omegas and all those extra things that we should be getting from meals, but we don't always have the time with our busy work and travel schedules these days.
Yeah, especially you New Yorkers. You guys are always on the
Yeah,
go. I mean, not to say that we're not in
absolutely.
Chicago, but yes, the
No,
hustle of New
I
York.
mean, the big city life, and I mean, I think it goes across the board. I mean, Americans are working more than ever. We're connected like crazy to our phones, and it is just nonstop. So it's hard to allow time to fit everything in between going to your morning cycling class or your yoga class, and then rushing to the office, then being at the office and barely having time to take a lunch break. And that kind of lifestyle is the, I guess, what created meal.
How did you get into it, and what were you doing? When was the first burst of inspiration for it?
Yeah, so honestly, never expected this to happen, and I found that usually that's the case in life, that the greatest things and or the most challenging things, so kind of come out of nowhere. But looking back, it was kind of always something that was there. I, moved to New York with no job actually. I had the bags packed and I was like, I'm going to make this happen,
Where were you
and
coming from?
started for Florida. So I
Okay.
was a little Florida baby, and I went to the University of Florida and started working there for a few years. But a big career in New York, especially in marketing, was just always kind of an end goal. So my background is marketing. I have some graphic design background as well. So I started kind of marketing, sales, event planning. Moved to New York, like I said, no job, but managed to figure that out very quickly. And then just worked my way up over the next few years. And my whole career path was like corporate America, like you're gonna make it. And I just was grinding, until I guess about a year ago exactly is when I decided to pursue this venture. So kind of what was happening in the background was, what we were touching on earlier, that exhaustion, that lack of really fueling and taking care of my body. So my childhood, and still to this day, I'm very active. I was a ballerina growing up, actually. So I really understood the concept of needing to eat proper foods to fuel my body, not only physically, but mentally. So what I was finding is I would have these days at the office where we all do, we're like, go to the gym first thing, and then I grab coffee on the way to the office, and then I'd be basically bottoming out my energy levels and not eating. And I'd look down and be, 3 to 4 o'clock. I'm like, oh my God, I've just eaten terrible office snacks all day. And now I'm starving and I don't have something really high quality. So that was going on. The same time, my husband, Adam, he's a corporate attorney and he works for a huge law firm here. So even more so was having that issue. Like his hours are extremely tumultuous, very long and unpredictable. So he was having that issue, but was also still trying to fit in time to go to the gym. But it's like negating itself. He would go to the gym and then not eat well enough to, help build the muscle and maintain his energy levels through the day. So we were both kind of like having issues. And then another thing, personal health-wise for me, I've always been kind of, I guess, skinny, but not, I felt something changing. Like, I guess, by all means, quote unquote, I was getting skinny fat. And I was gaining weight in weird places. And I was occasionally going to the gym, but like the diet wasn't there. And I got some blood work done, and my triglycerides and my cholesterol were just through the roof, like scary high.
When you say gaining weight in weird places, like,
it was just
do
like
we want to know or
no. Like, I mean, like, I guess most women have the issues with like the stomach and like the hips.
Yeah.
And by no means, like, was I self-conscious or like being, you know, upset at myself for it. I just thought, oh, you know, I'm just getting older or whatever. But once I got that blood work done, I was like, okay, something's not right. Like, I'm not taking care of myself. And then, you know, Adam's voicing these concerns. So I was like, you know what? We need to figure out some sort of snack or some other better meal prep option. So started researching, and a lot of the products out there are just synthetic. They're really, if you look into the dietary requirements of the macronutrients we should be getting in each meal, a lot of the brands out there, unfortunately, are skewed one way or another. So they'll be really heavy in carbs, not enough protein and fibers, or they just tasted terrible. So, you know, being foodies and people who like, you know, eating wholesome foods, we wanted it to have that offering of being all real food and balanced, but also have it really taste delicious. So that's kind of what sparked it. And then still at this point, we didn't think we were going to have a business. This was simply just a side passion. We were making this brand for ourselves. So we started sourcing ingredients and looking into like how to manufacture something like this, like talking to the FDA. How does this work? Do we need a co-packer? Where do we go for printing? Do we need insurance? How do we form an LLC? Like all of this stuff.
Yeah. Did you have a plan when you started playing around with this idea, or did you just kind of dive headfirst and just let one crumb trail lead you to the next thing that you did? Or did you guys actually put something together and said, okay, I think this is where we need to start, and then we can go from here, boom, boom, boom?
We kind of, it's a mix of both, I would say. We didn't write like a full-on business plan and decide that we were 100% pursuing this. But we did know, like, we had a to-do list of these are the requirements to get us to this point. And we wanted, being that Adam's a corporate lawyer, he was very careful about all the steps and making sure that we were protected and doing all the right things as a food brand.
Never has to have a lawyer in the family.
Oh, seriously. We complement each other well in that. He's like the lawyer finance type, and I'm the creative marketing type. So, it was a mix of both, but we still, you know, it was following each step, putting one foot in front of the other. And that honestly kept my sanity, and still to this day is what keeps my sanity, is like, you can't compare yourself to brands who are already there. Mm-hmm. And then you can't look at this huge, massive picture of, you know, where you want to be. It's good to have goals, but like, you still have to take one step at a time, especially being that we were doing this on the side. You know, we were early mornings, late nights. So I would say Adam, you know, he was the first, he was really enthusiastic, and he would do a lot of the product testing at first. And then I came in really significantly, obviously, on the marketing and the design side. So I did the logo, the packaging, the website, you know, started getting stuff in line for our social media accounts, e-blasts, all that stuff, gathering our customer database. And then we were like, okay, so they have this brand. It's cute. It's this little side project. We love it. But do other people love it? Or are we just kind of out of our minds, and this is just like a little thing that we'll have and we'll enjoy it and it'll make us feel good, and maybe we'll give it to family and friends? So at that point, we were like, okay, we need to get honest feedback. So we sent, an anonymous survey out with samples to every family and friend that we could think of. And just were like, okay, guys, we really need your complete honesty here, because if this is not a good product, is not something you'd want, then we don't want to jump in and, you know, spend what a little we had on this. Amazingly, their feedback was super positive, and they were like, you guys, this is really good. This is a product we want and can't find, and you should go for it. So that was last September. We got everything in line and took some savings and just put it into a small run and sold out of that, and then kind of reinvested that amount and did another small run, and so on and so forth. So for the past year, we've just been kind of increasing our amounts and just reinvesting and growing and reinvesting and growing. And it's so fun.
So I want to dive deeper into the transition. So while you guys were having your brainstorming, and then on the side, when your husband, he was doing more of the product testing, you were doing the marketing piece of it. So at what point did you decide that it was time to leave your full-time position? And like, was that hard for you? Were you excited? What was that? What did that look like?
Honestly, it's so crazy to think that was a year ago, but it was really painful. I really loved a lot about my career. I had worked my way up. I was at my company for 5 years. They had become family to me. And like, I'm getting emotional just talking about this. They had been there for me for a lot. And so it was really hard. And I was open and honest with them, and they knew I was working on this project, but you know, neither of us really thought it was going to take off so quickly. So I think when I came to them and said, look, I have this baby that I have to take care of, and you know, it's a food product, so it expires. I can't just do this on the side with our money invested. And I went to them very openly and honestly about that, and it was not easy. You know, they were really, I think, hurt. I was in pain too. And then just making that transition, not only just leaving something that you were really happy or thought you were, but also just the emotional change of working corporate, you know, 9 to 5 per se, and going from that and not being a part of your, you know, daily function to, okay, now your day is completely open, and now you figure it out. You're your own boss. You set the deadlines. You set the goals, the sales. You do everything. So mentally, I mean, the first few months, and I mean, I'd be lying if I said today's not challenging. I still have regular battles with myself and expectations and not being so hard on myself and trying to figure out how many hours is enough, how little can I work and still have a successful brand and have life balance. So, not an easy process.
No. And you know, most of the time when people talk about leaving their jobs, it's usually in the rhetoric of, it was terrible. I just needed, like, I mean, my situation was, I knew that I wasn't going to be there long, but it also was grueling, where every day was like, would just drain me, where sounds and seems as if it's easier than, like, when you really do enjoy what you're doing, yet you have this baby, whether it's your business or actual baby, you're making that choice to do that.
No, it was really hard, but you know, looking back, I think I really needed it. Just, you know, what I was commenting on before about my own health issues and my needs as far as like bringing more wellness into my life, and being somebody who is already so passionate about exercise and food. I mean, I love cooking and I try to eat very, you know, close to the farm and go to farmers markets. And so I was already in that world, but it was being wedged into whatever time I had left over after my day job. So, you know, I kind of, through the process, I guess my passions were pivoting. So it was absolutely for the best. And had I not done it, I would have always wondered what if.
Right. Which is,
and that's what I knew. And that's what I told them. I said, you know, of course I can stay here and play it safe and keep this job that I know is there. And I know I enjoy parts of it and are great people, but I think in the back of my mind, I will always wonder, what if my company could have gone somewhere and I could be my own boss? Like, I'll never know if I don't try.
Yeah, it's that unknowing in the back that can actually like fuel us, or the fear of not knowing, I guess I should say, is what can fuel us. So then do you remember your first day, when the day after you walked in and you left and it was like, okay, now you're running the company, and you're like, do you remember what you were thinking or what that was like?
Oh God, so many emotions, like pure terror, thrill, like pride, just sadness, happiness, like it's so overwhelming. You can't describe it. And then day one, you take that weekend to kind of process, and then day one kicks in. You're like, now what? What did I just do? But and that's where the one foot in front of the other came in. I was like, okay, just start with a couple basics, pick up the phone, just start asking questions and figuring it out one project at a time. And that's what we did. And it's taken a lot of support from family and friends, just me being able to call them and vent to them. Another inspiration is my dad. Actually, he started his own business when I was first born, and obviously I didn't know it until I was older, but he made a sacrifice. He left a salary to pursue his dream, and it was really hard financially. We had nothing growing up, and but it, his passion for what he does and his, I guess, taking chances, I guess, kind of was always with me. And I didn't realize it till I did that. But he's been a major resource for me. I call him and I'm like, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. And he's like, this is just part of it. He's like, do you know how many times I thought I was going to shut down my business and then it would change constantly? And he's like, still to this day. So, it's good to surround yourself with people who can listen to you complain sometimes, but then give you the real reality.
Yeah, and especially even being in the presence of people saying, me too, or yeah, I've been there before, because then you know you're not going crazy, or you're like, oh, so this is totally normal to be thinking this way. Okay, so this is a good thing. All
Yes.
right.
Yeah. Having that reinforcement, and then, Adam's been so supportive through it. Obviously, financially, he kept his job. So that's been, a challenge, but also a blessing in New York. It's really expensive to live here. So financially, that's been a strain for us, but we've been able to somehow make it work. But, I'm obviously very blessed to have him standing by me and cheerleading me through this.
Yeah. What can you, I would actually, I wrote down the question, like, what have you learned about yourself in the process of doing this business with your partner alongside of you and just being in that relationship space while being an entrepreneur?
Well, I'd say firstly, I'm so much more capable than I realized. I'm constantly struggling with imposter syndrome where I think I don't meet qualifications and I'm not good enough, and I'm one of the most critical people on myself, and I know that's something I've always struggled with and work hard against. But in launching a business, it just was such a confidence boost that I think I really needed to prove to myself that I was able and could figure anything out. So I think that's first and foremost, and that theme seems to pop up a lot throughout my life. Whenever I do something that scares me, I always find that I actually am capable and I can do it. So that's been first and foremost. And then, in a kind of a negative way, I have a hard time shutting off. So, and I know that was an issue with, the previous core jobs, as I would come home from work and I'd still be kind of ruminating over negative things that had happened, and I would bring it with me. And that's, everybody struggles with that. But now more so that I own my business, it is like, some days it's movies probably. It's the last thing I think about before I fall asleep and the first thing I think about when I wake up. And I'm working really hard to find some more balance mentally with that. Meditation, talking to mentors like we talked about. So, I've, both negative and positive things about myself through this process.
Yeah, I always say that entrepreneurship is definitely, it puts your whole being in life under a microscope and forces you. It's like this beautiful thing where it forces you to become more aware of who you are and how you behave, and just bring it, just heightens so much awareness about ourselves. I that's what I believe, or at least I've experienced in that as mm-hmm. well. Talk to us about, you know, okay, so you have the product. I want to know more about the sourcing aspect. Like mm-hmm. it's one thing for someone to say, I want to create this. And it's a completely another thing for someone to actually put wheels in motion and make mm-hmm. a physical product.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of that just stemmed from, we were determined for ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's all it started as. We were like, we just want to make this for ourselves. So when you're, and you know, it's kind of helped too, because we were making it for ourselves, the quality of the ingredients were extremely important. So all the way down to like the lecithin, which acts as a carrier in the product. It's, you know, such a small percentage, barely even affects it. But I was determined, I did not want to spend any money on soy lecithin, even though it's cheaper. I was like, we need the sunflower lecithin, because I don't believe in ingesting soy. It's really bad for our hormones. My mom's struggled with thyroid issues, and it's definitely affected that. So like the ingredient sourcing, we were very particular, and even down to the way protein, grass-fed, hormone-free, isolate. So it's casein-free. Casein causes bloating and indigestion, and what people have lactose intolerance issues with. So we were very particular about that. But as far as sourcing ingredients, so there's a lot of different ways that you can go to make a product. You can, you know, license a recipe and just kind of white label it, put your own logo and kind of rebrand it. But we went a different route. We actually created the recipe from scratch because we wanted it to be what we wanted it to be. So we were so particular about that. So we would literally contact different manufacturers that made different of these fruits and vegetables and nuts. And just, we got dozens and dozens of different things, and would just tinker with mixing different things together to see how it tasted. And also due to the macronutrient balance. So it still had to fit in a window of, you know, the correct carb fat protein ratio. So you can't have too much coconut milk, because then it's going to be really high in fat. So we would basically tinker with all this. And that's probably what took the longest, because it had to fit in that window, but it also had to taste good. So that was a really fun part. And that's what Adam did a lot of the heavy lifting on. And then I came in more, you know, since I enjoy cooking and food, I came in more of like the fine tuning, the taste of it, and said, okay, this one's a little tart. It needs a little bit more smoothness. Let's add some peanut butter. Let's maybe add some pineapple to this one, cover up the earthiness from the wheatgrass and barley grass. So that part was really cool. And I'm actually, now I'm doing the experimentation, because I'm in the process of creating a plant-based vegan line.
Oh.
Yes. So very, I'm really excited. I'm hopeful, you know, things take time, especially as a new business and being pretty much the sole people doing this. But I'm hoping for like later this year, early next year at the latest.
Wow. Okay. Well, so how many iterations did you guys have to go through before you landed on the ones that you're now selling on your website?
Oh God. Probably 100 or so.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, because we have 3 different flavors.
Right.
So yeah, but once we nailed it, like the general concept down, it did get easier, because then you don't have to change all the ingredients out every time. And we followed some basics. Like I would use other products for inspiration, and smoothies that I would make for myself, like, you know, strawberry and banana, classic combination. So it was just a matter of taking those and like seeing what else we could add to it, and wanted omegas from, we added flaxseed and, you know, stuff like that. So we got a little extra boost of nutrients.
Yeah. Well, okay. So then when you guys came up, you got your final product, you came mm-hmm. up with the marketing. What was your go-to-market strategy, and how did you identify your target market? And then what were some of the ways that you put your product in front of your target market?
Uh-huh. So I would say I'm still fine-tuning our target market, and I see just a lot of different angles I could go with it. But in general, I kind of started with what it was for me and Adam, because we were the people looking for this. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I made this for myself, and the branding is very much just an extension of myself and what I would look for in a brand. So I said, well, where do I go? What do I like? And so I started partnering with fitness companies and going to events and pouring tastings. And then there was the corporate angle. So I started reaching out to offices all over the city, going to health fairs at offices where employees would try our product. And so a lot of the initial marketing was super grassroots because we have almost a negligible marketing budget. So it's just a lot of me on my feet, go, 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 and then building the social following. So using the community that I've formed over the years. I have a lot of friends in fitness and wellness in New York. So using community and support to help build our awareness on Instagram. So did a lot of work on that side. Still have a lot more to do, obviously. But yeah, I would say that's kind of what I went for. I said, well, where would I find a brand like this? And what do I like to do?
Mm-hmm. What's been your biggest hurdle so far now that you're a year in that you've experienced, that you've had to overcome that was just like, oof.
Yeah. It's still going on, I feel. Initially, the biggest hurdle was finding partners that could work with a small startup. A lot of these huge manufacturers and production companies, they have really, really high minimums to hit. And it makes sense. They're working with the huge companies that are, you know, selling, you know, hundreds of thousands of products and, you know, selling in big retail chains. So they can do these huge runs. They have funding. So a lot of our initial hurdle was finding partners that could even work with us. So what I did and what I preach to a lot of other people trying to start brands is just to tell your story. And I think a lot of our initial partners have just been really drawn to the story of the brand and the concept and that it being something a little bit more innovative and new. So we've gotten in and cut some corners because of that. So we've been able to, you know, partner with a printer that wouldn't necessarily work with something as small scale, but they, you know, have been willing to. So, but that brings me to the other hurdle is that means your costs are a lot higher. So we want a really professional looking brand. We want like full printed pouch that's been done at a full facility that's foil lined so it retains the shelf life and everything. So to do that, it costs a lot more. So another major challenge of mine is figuring out how to find efficiencies in our costs so that I can free up a little cash so I can spend money on marketing. So it's this catch 22, right? You have to have sales to be able to scale up, but you have to have money to be able to spend on marketing to get those sales. So yeah, being really creative is the best route that I found. And that's, you know, going to those events, partnering with corporate wellness companies, and, you know, doing programs and discount initiatives with different companies as like a more partnership angle. So that's been my way around it, but it's still a battle of mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I mean, speaking of creative,
mm-hmm.
you guys have a partnership with a very well-known brand.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen and who is it with?
So it's Anthropology and I'm really ecstatic about the partnership because
that's amazing.
I obviously like so crazy. I love the brand. I've always shopped at Anthropology. In fact, I easily have like three or four of their candles burning at once in my apartment, which is completely not financially responsible of me. But I just love Anthropology. So I found out about this event, and any other startup entrepreneur should definitely attend or go. It's called Founder Made. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's awesome. You should totally look into it. So they do different themes. They have a beauty one, a wellness one, and a food one. And we contacted them back when we first launched for their wellness one, which was based here in New York. And they basically bring in panels of businesses that have kind of been there, done that, and are now doing really well. And they bring in some media, and then they have these explore kind of rooms where you can go learn about new brands like ours. And so I was really drawn to them. I just felt like it was very niche and they curated a really high-end type of brands. So I reached out to them and got up on their show. And so what's amazing about Anthropology though is we didn't know when we met the buyer who she was. So she just approached our table and must have heard about our brand and talked with us and, you know, followed up a few month or so after and just said, "Hey, we want to start an initial conversation about working with you." Yeah, it was, I mean, I always say, you know, it's luck, but luck is when opportunity meets preparation.
Oh yeah.
So I definitely am so blessed to have had that opportunity, but yeah, it's been really great for us. And the way they approached us is she's felt like our branding and our packaging and the lifestyle kind of wholesome feel of our brand lent itself really well to Anthropologie.
Yeah. So then what are the next steps now that you have this partnership? What does that look like in terms of keeping inventory and tracking mm-hmm. things? I mean, I assume that's got to be another feat for you, especially being a 1 year into your business.
Yeah. So it's definitely a little more challenging because now we have multiple avenues and I'm trying to work on more. So now we're on Amazon as well. And we do fulfillment by Amazon. So they have stock there. Anthro has stock. And then I have my own stock. And then we've sold, you know, directly to a few offices around the city. So there's that too. But honestly, it's pretty easy because I use Shopify for our website. Mm-hmm. So you can actually manage all the inventory. And I basically track all of the orders that way. And then it's been a huge help having Adam because he has a CPA as well. So he has this whole accounting background. He's really good at keeping all of our numbers in line and keeping all that on track. So I lean on him a lot for running reports for me and just making sure that everything's in line. So right now, inventory management is really through Shopify and through like custom purchase orders.
Okay. Wow.
So it's not too stressful yet. I'm sure it will be a challenge though.
Yeah. I mean, imagine Anthropologie saying, "Oh, we need this amount." I mean, very exciting.
Yeah.
For that as well. That is incredible.
Our general rule is, you know, we don't ever want to be out of stock. So we kind of target once our inventory gets to a certain level, we reorder, even though we haven't sold everything. So that makes the overlap like financially a little challenging, but, it, you know, always make sure that we have product available to send to, you know, our customers and our partners.
Mm-hmm. How has the days, you know, when you first started your company in terms of the structure of your days or how you mm-hmm. felt about them, how has that shifted and changed over the year now?
So when I first started, I was definitely following your typical schedule. I would wake up, I would make my coffee, I would make breakfast, I would make a meal, and then, you know, sit down 8 a.m. to start my day. And then very rarely would I leave until 5 p.m. I would maybe step out or go for a quick workout, you know, make my lunch, but then stay there. So I was definitely like still following those same poor habits. So, you know, it gets so caught in your ways. Like it was very hard to break, but it was not healthy. I was still not leading a balance. And what you kind of grow to learn as you run your own business is like not everything has to be done in those set hours. Mm-hmm. And so now my schedule is I'm up, you know, around 6:45 a.m. I'll try, that's my new initiative, is try to fit in some meditation. But I'll usually, you know, have a warm cup of water. I actually cut out caffeine from my diet the last 2 months. So I'll have a warm cup of water.
What inspired that?
You know, I've been going through some like health issues. So, and probably along the lines of like years of exhaustion and not taking care of myself, but, to get, you know, personal outside of business, I was on birth control for 11 years and not something I'm happy about, but I basically got off of it and my hormones kind of have not been well since. And that mixed with the stress of running a business.
Oh yeah.
You know, I started experiencing some acne issues. And so I've been experimenting with elimination diets and things out. And caffeine is something very inflammatory for our systems, as well as processed sugars, gluten, and so that's what I've been working on. And so far it's amazing. Once you get over the the caffeine hump, it's not so hard.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. I mean, the more women I talk to and hear their stories and, you know, we get deeper into how, I mean, entrepreneurship is stressful and the way that women's bodies handle stress versus maybe our male counterparts is quite different in terms of, like, I know, like, I struggle with adrenal fatigue about a year ago and was just always constantly in a fog. And then I started learning of people in my network or listening on podcasts that other people are struggled with it as well. And like, yeah, our bodies are amazingly smart and it's impressive just how, you know, like you took that blood work test and you got information back that influenced the decisions that you made after that. And so, I've gone caffeine free for 30 days as part of a challenge, but I just love the taste.
Oh, but I'm sure you probably did too.
And now you're just like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. No, I mean, you get used to it. I definitely will have my occasional craving and I'm not going to lie. I'll have a decaf coffee if I'm like out on a brunch date with Adam and he's drinking coffee and I can smell it and it just is so delicious. I'll have a decaf. So I have my occasional vices, but in general, my energy levels have really leveled out. And then on top of it, just keeping my healthy eating going. But then as far as like my daily routine, it starts more calmly. I'm not like getting up and like sprinting out the door to a workout class to fit in, you know, my 6 a.m. gym time before the office. So now it's more, you know, I'll get up, I'll drink some water, I'll make a smoothie, make some meal, whatever I feel that day. I'll check in some emails. So usually by 10 a.m., I've already done a few hours of work and then I'll break and I'll go to the gym and I'll maybe go grab lunch or go to the grocery store, stop by the farmer's market and then, you know, work through the afternoon. And then if I need to, I'll work through the evening. But if not, I stop and I kind of try to take a break from it. By break, I mean, usually Adam comes home and then we talk about meal over dinner. So
yes,
it's still constantly going, but you know, I need to run things by him as my partner. So yeah, I guess, you know, I've learned to not be so hard and allow myself to take that break in the middle of the day and not feel that overwhelming anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly something I'm working on, but I'm getting better.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Some days and some weeks you can just feel very much in flow and things are pacing the right way. And then other weeks it sometimes is perceived as this just constant catching up, can't catch up type thing.
Yeah. Usually that happens after a holiday weekend.
Yeah. I'm with you, girlfriend. Yes, exactly. We're recording this after Labor Day and it's 4 days and I'm like, what? No, I really need that extra day.
I know. It's crazy what a difference it makes, but I had to soak up those last few days of sunshine and
that's right.
The summer's coming to an end.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's like already... Yesterday it was it wasn't freezing, but it was definitely chilly where I was like, wait, what? How is it September and it's this cold?
Yeah.
But it's crazy. Oh, what I was going to ask you too. So how do you find, is in New York or like where you live, where do you go to find one, inspiration, two, mentoring, coaching, what sort of events, or like, are you part of a group that gets together? What does growth look like for you?
Absolutely. Mentorship circles are some of the best. A couple that came in mind, our mutual friend, Elise, I go to a small, she's also an entrepreneur. She was a friend of a friend who's now become a really close friend of mine.
She's a badass.
She's so awesome. Yeah. I just love her. Also, she's on her honeymoon now, and I'm like, oh, I'm back because I'm ready to have my buddy.
Yeah.
But so she's been amazing. She's brought me into a small like female startup group, and we meet, you know, once every month or so and just have breakfast and kind of powwow about what challenges we're faced with and kind of help each other make those next steps. That's been major. Elise has been major. She and I, because we both work for ourselves, we try to set co-working dates where we'll actually meet up and work together. And even though our industries are a little different, we still bounce ideas off each other and are passionate about what the other is doing. So that's been huge. Just going to, there's so many events right now in New York, especially, and probably Chicago, around wellness and female. It's just so big right now. So I go to as many fitness events that I can and just meet other women who are maybe not necessarily running a brand, but running their own brand as far as like a fitness instructor or a holistic health coach. So I connect with a lot of those women. Let's see what else. Have you heard of OK Real?
I've heard of London Real.
Oh, well, maybe it's associated. So OK Real, I connected with them and they do female mentorship circles. Okay. So you'll actually, I did this a couple months ago and I was kind of in a rough spot emotionally with the business I was going through. Some struggles with balance like we talk about, and they had one that was focused on balance. So I signed up and it was about six women. We spent, I want to say it was a Saturday for like 4 hours, and each woman had a chance to go around and kind of talk about something maybe she's struggling with. And everybody was kind of there to listen and give advice. It was one of the most amazing experiences I've had. And I, you know, didn't see it coming. I cried during it. And they said that's very common. And just really shared some vulnerabilities as far as, you know, financially, the stresses that I was going through. And, you know, running a business with your spouse. And that can be challenging on a marriage. And so it was really nice to be just super vulnerable in that moment and like have women just there with you, like saying it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, that is so important too, especially regardless of any stage or what stage anyone's at in their entrepreneurship journey. It's so important and it feels so good to have people that you can be 100% vulnerable and authentic with and share the struggles, the financial struggles, the internal, the emotional, the relationship, and all of that with it. And yeah. So it's real. How do you spell it?
It's okay.
Okay.
Just the letters and then real.
Oh, like R-E-A-L.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. So nope, completely different. So the London Real is like a YouTube series and I was thinking of it as in real, like the movie Real. Okay. Yes. Well,
yeah.
We will link to that so that people can find out.
Yeah, you should connect with them. Amy Woodside is the CEO and she does like not podcast interviews, but she'll do like articles with female entrepreneurs as well. And then she does these mentorship circles in New York and I believe in California too.
Very cool. She'll have to come to Chicago.
I know.
Don't forget the Midwest.
Yeah. We all should go to Chicago.
Yes, please. Yes, yes, yes.
City.
So I have a few questions for you as we wind down. A few last questions. One is, what has been one of your favorite books that you've read?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I'm like, I have to look under my bed, my stack of books. Mm-hmm. What was the one? One of my old coworkers, actually, before I left my job, lent me a book. Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Work Week.
Yeah.
I really loved reading it. I know like parts of it are maybe don't apply to me, but it was just really eye-opening seeing that there are ways to create balance in your life where you're not working, you know, crazy amounts of hours and you can find efficiencies. And he outlines so many resources in that book. So huge fan of Tim Ferriss in general. And then, oh, what's another book? I'm like blanking right now. I have like a whole collection. Oh, well, on the talk of healthy eating, I'm reading a book right now called Staying Healthy with the Seasons. Mm. And it's more like integrative medicine, like Chinese medicine, and
yeah.
How to follow that. Another book that I read for, not on the business side, more on health side, Woman Code. By Alyssa Vitti. Have you read that?
Well, yes. Oh my gosh. I was this Lee from America. I follow her on Instagram.
And oh, I love Lee.
Yes. She talked about the book and
Cycle thinking.
What's that?
Cycle thinking.
Yes. And like read that book in a matter of a week and it brought so much clarity and I immediately downloaded the app and like, Yeah, it's a fantastic book for any woman, like, with, it doesn't, you don't even have to be struggling with anything. It's just a fantastic book. But she talks about acne, she talks about adrenal fatigue, she talks about pregnancy.
Every woman, like, when you first get your period, when you're a little girl, like, you should be given this book. I was blown away at the lack of information I had about how my body functions. And it's been amazing. And I changed my workout routine. So, like, when I'm, you know, in my period week, I'm not doing as intense stuff because your hormones have really dropped and you don't want to spike your cortisol and stress hormones while you're, like, already so depleted. Mm-hmm. So I've really found that fascinating, and it's helped me just a lot with, you know, the movement in my life towards wellness and eating well and taking care of my body physically and mentally. That book was huge. Another book, that's more on the mental side, A Return to Love. So it's by Marianne Williamson, and it's basically like the prequel to, A Course in Miracles. Definitely has more of a spiritual feel, but I don't know, just sometimes, like, I would read it to kind of give me some perspective. And then, you know, listening to podcasts like, you know, like yours. And, I Built This, and certain podcasts like that, that just, you can gather inspiration from other entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Podcasts are great. It's so, so nice to be able to listen to them while you're biking or walking or even working out. My problem is I can't listen to them when I'm working out because I want to take notes.
Yeah, same. And I need something, like, more intense when I'm working out. I need, like, some music that I can really get into.
Yeah, like some EDM. Yes.
Yeah.
Which I'm halfway kidding, but not really. I like EDM for certain purposes. And sometimes working out is a good one for that. So the last question I have for you is, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the next thing that you would outsource?
Oh, wow. I could wave a magic wand. What would I outsource? Oh, it's a toss up. Fulfillment. So I still do all of our shipping. But we're not quite to scale to have a fulfillment company yet, but that would be awesome. And then maybe somebody to help me with the social media and, like, the outreach to influencers. That's a big project for me. So that would be awesome if I had somebody that could really, like, take that and run with it. Honestly, just a little extra help would be great.
Just anything.
Just another person to, like, help me and bounce ideas off of. And, you know, we could come up with plans. And, you know, that there's something about having somebody to work with that also gives you an accountability. I am super hard on myself and driven day to day. Like, I'm not the type of person that would ever turn on the TV or get distracted easily, but just having somebody there really does step up. Like, okay, I promised I would get this project done by this time. I'm going to do it because I told that person.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be, I would say that over anything, having somebody there.
Yeah. I know, it's just that being able to feed off the energy of both people, like, working head down type thing.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Share with my listeners where they can find more information about you and your product and how they can interact and connect with you.
Okay. Yeah. So you can follow us on Instagram. It's Meal Shake. So it's spelled slightly different. It's M-E-L-E Shake. And our website is the same, mealshake.com. You can email me anytime. I love hearing from people, answering questions at hello, H-E-L-L-O, at M-E-L-E, shake.com. And then if you want to hang out with me on a personal side, I actually do have a wellness Instagram account that I run. And that's just my name. So lauren.benbassat, B-E-N-B-A-S-S-A-T.
Awesome. All right. Well, Lauren, thank you again for everything. And I'm thank so looking you. Forward to this podcast interview so my listeners can tune in, because no doubt they're going to get a ton of value from it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me, Amanda. It was really amazing getting to know you and chatting with you.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.